I want us to open our Bibles in the 84th Psalm, Psalm number 84. I want you to follow the reading of God's precious word and then keep your Bibles open as we will meditate upon God's precious and God's infallible truth. The 84th Psalm, commencing to read at verse number 1, it says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." Selah. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Amen. We know that God himself will add his blessing to his infallible word for Jesus' sake. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering how that God would seek to teach us that he is not only the God of the hills, but God is the God of the valleys. And as we were considering that, we're thinking about the message or the lessons that God was teaching, and God wants to teach us even through the valleys of the scriptures and the valley experiences that God's people go through. Last Lord's Day morning, we looked in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we thought about the valley of Elah, and how that God taught his child just to simply trust him, even though the giant came out against him and against Israel and was mocking God, yet how that God gave him victory there in the valley. And then, secondly, we looked at the valley of Berekah. And you remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, how that the armies of Ammon and the armies of Moab had come out against Judah. And Judah, the king of Judah, was Jehoshaphat. He didn't know what to do, but he sought the face of God. He was utterly dismayed. His people were in fear. They didn't know what to do, but they proclaimed a fast, and they prayed, and they sought the face of God, and they encouraged themselves in the Lord. And how that God turned that valley of Baca into the place of thanksgiving. Because God had delivered them, and it was a place of praise, and they began to praise the Lord. And the place where they were terrified, where they thought everything was lost, God had turned that into a place of thanksgiving. The children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is going bright, their souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to a palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." They're going to praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But I want us to turn, thirdly, to this 84th Psalm this morning. And you'll find there's another valley experience that is mentioned here in verse number 6. And this is what it says. "Who passing through the valley of Baca," passing through the valley of Baca, "make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools." Now you say to me, well, what is the valley of Baca? Let me explain it to you very simply. The valley of Baca wasn't far from Jerusalem. It was in the direct journey for the people that were going up, or the pilgrims that were traveling up to the city of Jerusalem. It was there in their pathway. It was the direct part of the journey where the children, or the pilgrims of the children of Israel, would make their way up to worship at the temple of the Lord. And so many of them had come from distant parts, and they had come a long journey And then they would come to this place that was called the Valley of Baca. It was a place that was there near Jerusalem. Now, what is interesting about Baca was this. Authorities tell us there were two things in Baca. First of all, there were the mulberry trees. The mulberry trees, Baca was famous for its mulberry trees. And secondly, Baca was also famous for its fountains. Because it is true that there was a time that the mulberry tree was very much there in the place of Baca. And whenever the pilgrims would come, they would come to the mulberry tree. And they would come there for a purpose. Because before they would make their final ascent, they were tired and they were weary, they would stop at the mulberry tree. And also, it was a place of the fountains. And so there were two things here that God had provided on their pathway to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We find that God had provision for them. First of all, he had food for them from the tree. The mulberry tree, and they would sit down and they would eat of the food of the mulberry tree. And then secondly, we would find that there were stone reservoirs there at Baca in the ground, and they would collect the rainwater, because it speaks about when the rain also filleth the pools. That's what it says there in verse number 6. And so can you see the scene? The Jews passing through, they would stop at this place, and they would stop for two things. They would stop for rest before they would make that final ascent up to Jerusalem. They were tired and they were weary, but they would stop for rest and they would stop for refreshment before they would make the final climb. They would sit there and they would eat of the fruit of the mulberry tree. They would sit there and they would drink of the fresh, clear water that was in the reservoirs. And so God renewed their strength and God refreshed them. And God gave them rest, knowing that they were weary by the way. Now notice what it says here in the scriptures, that it says, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools, they go from strength to strength. Everyone on them in Zion appeareth before God. And so we find, as it says, if you look in verse number 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. So there are people who are blessed, and the word blessed, they're a happy people. They are happy because God brings them this way. I tell you, we sing the hymn quite often, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt God's tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? And so whenever God leads his people by the way, this was the way that God was leading his children, but God knew their need. And God knew that before they made that final ascent up into the city of Jerusalem, that they would come and be refreshed spiritually in the temple of God, that God knew they need refreshment physically. God knew they needed rest. God knew they needed refreshment. Listen, and my God shall supply all your need. In other words, everything that they needed, God provided, because God knew exactly all they needed. My friend, he's the same God. This is what Paul said. He says, my God, says Paul, say, my God shall supply all your need. He had proved it in his own life, because God had often brought him to the place, the valley of Baca. God had blessed him there. And then the Bible says they pass through the valley of Baca, and then in verse 7 they go from strength to strength. They are happy in the Lord because God has met their need. My friend, I'll tell you this, when you get your eyes upon the Lord, when you indeed eat of the mulberry tree and enjoy the feast of good things that God has provided for you, and God is a rich and a plenteous provision for his people, God's not a mingy God, because God supplies us abundantly. And there's an abundance of blessing, and God's people ought to be the happiest people of the world, because they pass through the valley of Baca, and there they find meat for their journey. There they find refreshment at the reservoir of God, and praise God, then they go from strength to strength and appear before God. His word is our daily manna. Thank God, the water from His well of salvation. It is our refreshment. And you know, when the Lord stopped at the well, remember the woman of Samaria came to Him, and the Lord Jesus introduced that conversation in John's Gospel, chapter 4. And whenever the Lord Jesus said to her, you know, that everyone that goes back to that water shall thirst again. But if he that asks of me for the water, God says, listen, not only you ask me for water, I'll give you a well. There'll be a well within you. Thank God He's an abundant God, friend. Listen, God will give no good thing, the Bible says. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you think that God's holding out on you this morning? Do you think that God's not giving you all that you need? Are you really happy in the Lord this morning? And friend, listen, if you're not happy in the Lord, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, if you haven't come to God's house today refreshed in your soul and happy in Christ and all the provision that God has for you, it's not the problem with God. It's the problem with you. You're the problem, not God. If you're miserable today and you're a child of God, you think that God didn't mean it when He said to the woman, He says, listen, you ask for water, I'll give you a well. I'll give you an abundant supply. And I always think of what that woman said. She says, sir, give me that water. And praise God, friend, He gave her a well. And then she ran into the town and she ran into the city and she told the man that she had led into sin. She says, come see a man that has told me everything that I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, she knew that this was the Master. She knew that this was the Messiah. And she came to Him. We sang this morning, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My soul, my thirst was quenched. My soul revived and now I live in Him. But friend, let me tell you, that's only the start of the blessing. That's only the start of it. God has more blessings to give you. Constantly God gives His people rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. And He says, all ye that are heavy laden. He says, come to me. And He says, I will give you rest, friend. That's every day of your existence. You can know the rest of Christ. I'll tell you something else. He'll give you refreshment. You come to the Lord with an open heart, I'll tell you this, He'll not disappoint you. You'll eat of the mulberry tree, thank God, you'll drink of the fountain. Because God has abundant supply. Blessed or happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Notice the hunger and the thirst. And God has promised to give you of His provision, friend, the eating of the mulberry tree, the drinking of the reservoir and the well. And praise God, there is an abundant supply. But there's another thought about Baca. Because in actual fact, the word Baca can also mean weeping. And whenever you say here, passing through the valley of Baca, it is a valley of weeping. And you see, my friend, here we find that in this valley of Baca, it says, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well? And maybe your heart is breaking today. Maybe your heart is broken. Maybe your heart is sad. Maybe there are problems that are pressing upon you. And maybe, friend, listen, maybe last night on your pillow you shed your tears. You shed tears, and they were real. And they were scorching tears, and perhaps you said, there's nobody knows what I am going through. Let me tell you this. The Word of God tells us that God will bring you through the valley of weeping. He'll bring you through the valley of Baca. And God will make it a well, friend. Listen. And God will prove that you'll go from strength to strength. He'll bring you through. Over there in the book of the Psalms, it is a Psalm 56. It says, verse number 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God remembers your tears, friend. God knows all about those tears that you shed. God's not unmindful of your grief this morning. Don't you think you have a God who doesn't? The Bible says He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And all down the ages, the saints of God have wept before Him. And praise God, friend, they've come forth going from strength to strength, proving the sufficiency of the grace of God and knowing the sweet comfort of the Savior. The one who Himself draws near. Because the Bible said He is the God of all comfort. Let me tell you why that He understands your tears, friend. Because listen, He is the one that's qualified like none other to understand your tears or mine. Because the Bible calls him the man of sorrows. And the one who's acquainted with grief. Praise God, there's a day coming that we can rejoice in. And there'll be no more tears. There's a day coming when the Word of God says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that's going to be. But listen, friend, but we're passing through the valley of Baca. Thank God, notice the word, who passing through. Thank God he doesn't keep you there. You don't stop there. What does it say in Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And God brings his children through. And thank God, when you're passing through, you will find that yes, there will be in the midst of your tears, it will be a place of refreshment. It will be a place of rest. It will be a place of rejoicing. That's what God can do, friend. God can turn your tears into the joy of the morning. God can turn your brokenness into blessing. If you let him. If you'll trust the Lord, he is able to do it. Thank God, he is willing to do it. That's the third valley. It's the valley of Baca. I want you to move now to the book of Numbers. And I want you to come to another place in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. We read it this morning. And friend, this place, it is down by a brook. It's in a valley. You study the picture here and you'll find that this is a valley. It's the valley of Eshcol. And tell me, what does God teach us there? What does God teach us at this brook, which is down there in the valley? If you go down to verse number 23, it says, and they came onto the brook of Eshcol. And down there in that valley, we find, here's the picture, the children of Israel are journeying from Egypt to the promised land. They come to a place, and those who have read the scriptures and study the scriptures will know it. It's a place called Kadesh Barnea. They have passed through the wilderness. God has brought them out of Egypt. They're passing through the wilderness, and they come to a place. They come to a border station. And they're about to go into the promised land. But they stop at Kadesh Barnea. There's something sad about this, but let me tell you, my friend. Do you know that could have been the end of the wandering of the children of Israel? And yet we find they wandered for 40 more years. And yet they could have finished their wandering here at Kadesh Barnea. Isn't it sad? Was God the blame? Was God the fault? No, friend. And I tell you, when you and I miss out the blessings of God, friend, it's not that God doesn't want to give us blessings. It's we're the problem. And we're the hindrance. And here we find they come to a place, and see it? They're heading out of Egypt. They've gone through. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've made their way through the wilderness. And they come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And they stop there at that border post. And then Moses chooses out 12 men. And there, those 12 men were rulers over the tribes. And Moses sends them over the border. And he sends them into the land of Canaan to search out the land. Go to verse 17 of chapter 13. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land which it is, and the people which dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the fruit ripe grapes. Now, you remember way back in Exodus, whenever we were studying Exodus, God promised Moses that he would bring him into a land of milk and honey. That's what God had said to him. And God's a God of promise. And now they come to Kadesh Barnea, and Moses sends 12 spies into the land, and he sends them as they stop there, and he sends them over into the land of Canaan. And as they go into the land of Canaan, we find that they climb the hills, and they cross the streams, and they traverse the valleys, and they visit the towns, and they see the Anakims, and they see the Amalekites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites. You see all of this. And God says to them, listen here, or through Moses, be ye of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. And so I believe that when these 12 spies leave Moses there at Kadesh Barnea, they're going with excitement, they're good spirited, they're happy. They're going to spy out the land because God has promised them there's fruit in the land, there's provision in the land, there's plenty in the land. This is the land of promise. And whenever they looked and they saw all of those other things, friend, they noticed that it is a rich land of pomegranates. It's a rich land of grapes. It's a rich land of figs. They have never seen the like. And then they come to a place at a brook. It's in a valley. It's the valley of Eshcol. And when they come to that valley, friend, listen to me carefully. When they come to the brook of Eshcol, we find that their one cluster of grapes is so large. Because it's a land of great promise. It is a land exactly as God had promised it to be. For God's as good as his word. And one bunch of grapes was so big they had to take a staff. And they had to put a staff through the bunch of grapes. And one man put the staff on his shoulder. And the other end of the staff went on the other boy's shoulder. And it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes. One cluster. Two men. Two of these spies. And it says in verse number 27, and they told him, whenever they come back, they said this, and they told him and said, we came onto the land whither the descendants dust, and surely it floweth, what was the promise, away back in Exodus chapter 3, a land of milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. God kept his word. God had made his provision, friend. And God had promised them that he would give them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And now whenever the rest of the children of Israel see those men coming back and see two men carrying one cluster of grapes, it's so vast, it is so great. It's a bountiful provision that God has in this land. And they are standing back in awe and wonder. And I can see they're happy. And whenever they listen to it and they said, listen, yes, it is surely, it's a land that floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And I can see the children of Israel, friend, let me tell you, and they're rejoicing, they're happy. They're happy in the Lord. But, look at the next word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. And then it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, verse 33, and there were, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Nevertheless. And the people were so happy in the Lord. For God is blessing them here. And then suddenly they hear this report. But there's giants. And there's walled cities. All the obstacles, all the problems. Where's God, friend? Where's God? No mention of God. Just the problem. And at that critical time, verse number 30 of chapter 13, it says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. A man of faith. A man of courage. And my, he had confidence in God, and then we find in verse 31, But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. Friend, let me tell you this. Whenever the children of Israel heard that report, I'll tell you, there was no laughter, there was no clapping, there was no joy anymore. What does it say in chapter 14, verse 1? They cried and they wept that whole night. What happened, friend? Discouragement. Discouragement. And men that took their eyes of God, friend, and they got their eyes on themselves, and they said, listen, we be not able to go up against them. And they took their eyes of the Lord. And when they got their eyes of the Lord, let me tell you, friend, they had discouragement in their own heart. And they said, we're not able. For God's not in this, friend. We're not able. But here's the sad thing. That not only did they discourage themselves, but they discouraged everybody else. Not only were they defeated themselves, but they brought defeat into the lives of the children of Israel. And can't you see them? And the children of Israel, when they saw the cluster of grapes, they were so happy. And then they said, the land is flowing with milk and honey. But didn't God say, I will give you the land? Didn't God say, I'll bring you into the land? Didn't God tell them that he would give them the victory over the Jebusites and the Amalekites and the Amorites and all the rest of them and the people and Canaanites? But God wasn't in their story. This was all a man. He said, we're not able. The people started to cry. And friend, there was a division among them. And the division among them brought discouragement. And there were two that brought a report that God was able to bring them through and that they were able to go. Let us go up, verse 30, at once and possess it. This isn't half-hearted. This was the language of faith. For God had promised them the land. And listen, the land was exactly as God said it. God said, listen, it's a land full of milk and honey. Listen, when God fulfilled one part of the promise, was God not able to fill it all? Was only a God half a God of promise? And there was discouragement. And then who would they start to talk about? Wouldn't we have been better to have stayed in Egypt? Wouldn't we have been better to have stayed in Egypt? And friend, they brought the people's minds back to Egypt. The place of bondage. Well, the devil would love to discourage you to get you back to the place of bondage. I want to tell you, friend, God brought us out of bondage. And the hymn writer says, I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. And I'm not going back. And God's people need to keep their eyes upon him. And the Bible says here that whenever they heard this, they said, verse number 4, let us make us a captain. Let us make a captain. We'll take over. We don't like the captain that there is. We're going to make one of our own. And we're going back to Egypt. Let me say this honestly before God. Anybody wants to go back to Egypt can come. They can go back to Egypt if they want to. But those that are in the Lord's side said, we're staying out of Egypt. I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. They said, let us make a captain. And we'll go back to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, verse 5. before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, their hearts were breaking. Because let me tell you, friend, the people have dismissed Aaron and Moses as if they didn't count. They were God's men. But they dismissed them as if they didn't count. But we'll make our own count. And then notice, because that's not the end of the story, friend. Caleb and Joshua, verse 6. Joshua and Caleb stepped forward. And they had confidence in God, and they said this. It says, there were them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, and they spake also unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us. You see, the Lord's in their story. If the Lord delight in us. If we are walking in the center of God's will, if we are doing what God wants us to do, listen, if God delights in us, if our eyes are upon Him, then He will bring us into the land. Not back to Egypt. Into the land that flowed from milk and honey. And notice what it says. And God will not only bring us it, God will give it us. God will give us it. I'm telling you, friend, you enter into the blessing that God has for you. Don't look back to the garlics of Egypt. Get into the place of blessing with God. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord's presence. Enjoy the Lord's presence. And God will give you the land. It's a land, what verse number 8? It's a land that floweth with milk and honey. And then they said, only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Tell me, how did these boys, the one with the new captain, how did they react? Look at verse 10. And all the congregation bid them stone with stone. And then something happened for him. Because God let it go so far. And then God stepped in. God says, I'm taking over, Moses. And God says, let me tell you. It says there in verse number 10. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. God stepped in. And friend, let me tell you. God stepped in and His glory filled the tabernacle. And God vindicated Caleb and God vindicated Joshua. And God says, I'm going to destroy those that have risen up. And God says, listen, I'll bring judgment. Because they've discouraged the people. They wanted them to turn back in unbelief. But Moses pleaded to God. Because Moses is a loving heart, friend. And Moses could hear the laughter of the Philistines. God wasn't able to bring them in, so therefore He killed them. And Moses begged God, please God be merciful to them. Please God be merciful to them. And God says, right, Moses, I will. But I want to tell you, Moses, this. Every man over 20 years, except Caleb and Joshua, every man over 20 years will die in the wilderness. They have lost out with me. And God said this. God says, I'll destroy them in the wilderness. And for every day that the spies went into Canaan, and they went in 40 days, and God says, every day, God says, I'll give them a year. And God says, for 40 years, they will wander, and they will wander, and they will wander, and they will wander around in the wilderness, friend, and they'll never get anywhere, says God. Because God says, every man over 20 years, God said, they'll die. Because of their sin of discouragement. And their sin of unbelief. Friend, that's the book. They belittled the power of God. You know, I'm glad that in Pilgrim's Progress, when you read that story, that God blessed and has blessed the saints down the years in Pilgrim's Progress. Whenever Christian needed it, there was a man called Hopeful. And whenever Christian saw no hope and saw nothing else but hopelessness and everything seemed to go wrong, thank God there was a brother, Hopeful, stepped in and put his hand on Christian's shoulder and brought a word of encouragement in his hour of need. And I'll show you something else. You say, well, that's Pilgrim's Progress. Then let's come to the Bible. Go to Acts chapter 28. And in Acts chapter 28, friend, Paul was in a moment of great need. In actual fact, he was going to Rome. And he was going to Caesar. And when he was heading to Caesar and ultimate death, would you go with me, please, to Acts chapter 24 in a very simple thing. Go to verse number 14. And it says, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so he went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and he took courage. What is that? Well, I'll tell you exactly. Paul's making his way to Rome, friend. He's on a lonely journey here. He's taken a lonely pathway. And he's going to have to suffer and die for his testimony for Christ. But whenever he was 40 miles from Rome, 40 miles, Appii Forum, the believers in Rome loved God's servant so much that they traveled the 40 miles to meet him. To say, brother, we're with you. And the Bible says, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God. And he took courage. Keep going, brother. Keep pressing on. He thanked God. Now, what does that say to you and me? I know time is away this morning, but let me just show you one verse and it's applicable. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's very applicable. Because there's much discouragement. And there are those, friend, that would drive you back to Egypt. Let me tell you, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. In verse number 11. Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Brother, in God's name, be an encourager. Lift up the hands that hang down. And there's people with a feeble knees. And perhaps they don't know where to turn. They're in just in a maze. They're in discouraged. They're downhearted. They're depressed. And they don't know where to go. Listen, wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down. And lift those that are feeble need. Be an encourager. Be a blessing. These men brought discouragement to them. But God brought them into Canaan. Those under 20. None over 20 got in except Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because their testimony is this. They wholly followed the Lord. They got their eyes on him. God help me to do that for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And oh God, I thank you for the encouragement of thy book. And Lord, I thank you that you promised to bring us to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Thank you, Lord, you promised that you'll not leave us halfway, but we bless thee that you'll bring us safely home. And, oh God, we thank thee for the brethren and sisters in Christ that just as in Paul's day, they were encouragers. And, Lord, we can thank God for them. And we take courage knowing that God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you, for God is still on the throne. Bless us today. Encourage us in the work of God. For Jesus' sake. Amen.